Matthew chapter 17. Title of the message this evening is Nothing Impossible. Do you feel like as a disciple of Christ, nothing is impossible for you? I mean, do you walk around with a daily conference knowing confidence, knowing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Do you really walk around like that? Or do we just kind of walk around, maybe it'll work out? For myself, too often I find myself in that position of maybe it'll work out. Okay? Tonight's a message of confidence, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious and holy Word? Jesus is dealing with His apostles here, and He's approached by a man who has a son, a demon-possessed son. Verse 14 says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Him, kneeling down to Him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Don McCaslin, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Now we'll start at the end with that nothing is impossible. And that phrase that Jesus shared with His apostles here, where He said, "Nothing will be impossible for you." This is a pep talk. After this message, I want us all to go out of here with every confidence that we can do anything we want to do. Right? Well, maybe not. A lot of people take this scripture, and I want you to know that word "nothing," it's an all-inclusive word. Jesus is covering everything. All right? But I've also heard this preached that if you had faith, you could do anything you want to do. Faith enough to be healed. Faith enough to have riches and faith. No, that's not what it's talking about, okay? What it's talking about is faith enough to do God's work. Faith enough to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in God's work. And if you look at this, the way Jesus presents it, that if God's work required that a mountain be moved, And the disciples had the faith of a mustard seed, they could say to that mountain, "Move out of the way," and that mountain would be moved. And I believe that. Okay? But it's dealing with God's work and the ministry. And so this chapter begins with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Wonderful story. You can read about that later, but there He's transformed and talks about His face shining like the sun, and His clothes became white as the light, and Jesus and His inner circle, Peter, James, and John, spent time with Moses and Elijah talking to those guys, and what a great sight that was. But while there on the Mount of Transfiguration, there's 9 disciples left back in the city, okay? And we kind of get the glimpse of what these 9 have been up to while Jesus and those 3 were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Those 9 have been approached by a father. And this father, having the love that any father would have for his child, approaches them with a demon-possessed son and desiring that they would they would cast out this demon because it says he was an epileptic and he cast himself into the fire, he cast himself into the water, and he was suffering greatly. But the Bible says in this text that they could not cast out this demon. And if you go and you look in the book of Mark chapter 9, the same episode, we find that their failure resulted in the scribes that were arguing with the disciples. They failed, so just like anywhere, when you fail, there are going to be naysayers who point their finger and say, yeah, y'all are just putting on. What you have is not real. And so they're going at it with the scribes, and Jesus returns from the Mount of Transfiguration, and this father approaches Jesus in absolute desperation, and he cries out to Jesus, Jesus, please have mercy on my child. Now, you got to put yourself in this father's shoes. You know, if you have children, you know the love that we have for our children. It's the same kind of love as he approaches Jesus and said, I brought my son to your disciples. They were supposed to help, and he's so bad, Jesus, that they couldn't help him. So Jesus just very simply rebukes the demon, and the demon comes out and the boy's cured. No problem, no hassle, no delay. But it brings us to the question that the disciples said to Jesus afterwards. They said, Jesus, why could we not cast out that demon? Why could we not do it? Have you ever been in that situation where you look around and the Lord seems to be working in other people's lives and you wonder, why aren't things happening in my life? You see people who seem to be so close to the Lord and you yourself seem a little bit distant or seem a lot distant. You say, why don't I have that closeness? Well, here, it's kind of that mentality. And we find out as we read and we consider what Jesus said when Jesus was absent on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's a little bit of speculation here, but I think we're safe in this speculation. I believe these nine began to neglect their prayer life. Why? Because Jesus said this only goes out by prayer and fasting. Okay? They begin to likely be somewhat self-indulgent. And we find that by their question, why can't we do this? Their faith has become weakened. You know, isn't that the way it goes? You start neglecting your prayer life, what happens? You get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And it is so very easy for it to have a domino effect. Well, I'll pray later. Well, later never comes. And the first thing you know, the faith is drifting, and you're fighting battles and you're being overwhelmed and you're just absolutely not being successful. Why? Because you're letting things slip, spiritually speaking. And Jesus, as he comes back, he takes care of the problem immediately. And he looks at those disciples and he said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Now that word faithless, you know what faithless means? Faithless means unbelieving or not trusting. Now Jesus has given them the power that they're supposed to be able to do things. But somewhere along the way, since Jesus has been on the Mount of Transfiguration and they've been on their own, somewhere along the way, their faith is slipping. Their trust is not what it once was. They're believing in the power that they've been given is not what it once was. Oh, faithless and perverse. That word perverse is an interesting Greek word. It literally means, okay, an object on the potter's wheel that becomes misshapen. See, that's what happens when we begin to neglect our spiritual life. If we're going to be disciples of Christ, you know, it requires a continual time in God's Word, a continual study time, a continual prayer time. And we let that slip for even one day, I promise you, you'll notice it the next day. Jesus is literally telling them, you've become misshapen. I've been molding you and making you into what you should be. And somewhere along the way, in my absence, there's been a flaw in your character. And you've denied those things that are so important. And again, you know, have you ever really been to that point where, spiritually speaking, you felt alone? Where you felt like that God just wasn't with you every step of the way? My first question is, how's your prayer life? How's your spiritual time in God's Word? You know, that's what happened to these guys. And if these guys, being directly associated with Jesus, could slip, guess what can happen to us? I mean, we can slip. Just let it go a day or two, and the first thing you know, we're fighting battles and failing just like these guys were. So what do we do? Well, the first thing we've got to consider is our faith, our reliance upon. We've got to remember where the power comes from. Jesus said in the Great Commission I preached last week, all authority is given to me. Listen, if we are successful in anything that we do as a church, if you are successful in anything that you do as an individual, it will be that by the power of Jesus Christ, not by your own power. Have you ever seen a preacher that was full of himself? Just walk around, you could just tell. He carried himself and he thought he was somebody. Don't you just love being around a person like that? No. No. You know the kind of preacher or the kind of church member or the kind of deacon I love to be around? I love to be around those preachers and teachers and deacons and church members who know that all that they are is in Christ Jesus. That they're nothing, but Jesus Christ is everything. You kind of get that mentality that the apostles, these disciples, probably stepped up and said, watch me, I'll take care of this. And it didn't work. Why? Because they didn't prepare. They did not take precaution spiritually speaking. They didn't prepare in prayer. What is prayer? I mean, stop it then. I've literally had people tell me, Brother Doug, I just don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? Do you realize that's what a prayer is? It's talking to God. And there's no formula. Sometimes we get very formal, and especially when we're praying publicly, we want the words to be just right and we want everything to sound spiritual. But listen, when we're talking to God, we're just talking. There are times I approach God and say, God, I just don't know what to do. God, I don't know how to handle this. Lord, if this is going to work out, you've got to take care of it. There are times when I'm concerned for my children and I just go to God and say, God, I'm hurting because of my kids. And I don't worry about all the right words or the right phrases and those, you know, those religious phrases that I just want to talk to my Heavenly Father and seek His power and seek His will and seek His direction in my life. That's what a prayer life is. A prayer life is also preparation. You know, none of us know what we're going to face tomorrow, do we? I mean, it may be an easy day, and it may be a day filled with joy after joy after joy, but it also may be Satan waiting around the corner, roaring like a lion, seeking you to devour you. That's why today's prayer life is so very important. We've got to nurture that closeness with the Lord every day that we live. Because we don't know what the next minute holds. You see, it's our preparation. Were you here when Victory built this building? Beautiful building. I just, God has blessed. Amen. Wonderful blessing to have such a worship facility. But do you know where the real work went into this facility? before the first hammer and nail ever were struck, the real work went into the planning. The real work went into to preparing for the building. Okay? And the real work tomorrow is not the battle that we're going to face. The real work is not the success that we're going to have or the failure. The real work is us on our knees today, seeking that closeness from God, seeking that direction from God, seeking that power from God to face whatever tomorrow holds. The real challenge is in the preparation. Jesus said, these don't go out except by prayer and... what was that other thing? What? Fasting. Fasting and supplication. We better not preach on fasting, should we? Did you know they did that in the Bible? You know what fasting was about? Fasting was about getting close to the Lord. Okay? Yes, they did without food, and they laid all that aside so they could dedicate themselves completely and focus their mind and even their soul upon that relationship and dealing with a specific need in their life. People make me smile today. They think it's spiritual. I've heard people make statements like, "I'm fasting Cokes." And I can't help but on the inside it makes me laugh, because I think they're missing the point of what fasting was about. Are we commanded to fast? No. Should we fast? Yeah, it's appropriate on occasion. When we're burdened, when we have a desire to lay everything aside and work on us and God, work on a burden that we have. To lay everything aside so that our entire being is focused upon God and receiving His direction and receiving His power. I believe with all my heart that what Jesus said in the closing of this chapter was true. That nothing will be impossible for you. But I think the key is for any disciple of Christ is to be ready whenever, whatever it is that nothing covers, when you're prepared for it in your relationship with Christ. Do not let that relationship slip. Whether times are good, whether times are bad. Make room for that prayer life. Make room for that study time. Make room for those times when it's just you and God. Daily having that talk and that conversation and that relationship. You know, you never speak to, I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again tonight. It's hard to have a relationship with someone whom you never speak to. Okay? And it's hard to be personal with someone that you're always only formal with. Okay? I meet a lot of people through the course of the week. A lot of people. You know, maybe at some classes that I attend, maybe just out generally among the city of Russellville. I run across a lot of people and I speak to a lot of people. I say, "Hi, how are you doing?" I introduce myself, I'm Doug. But that's not a personal relationship. Okay? A personal relationship is someone that I sit down with and I share my heart with. I bear my soul to. I trust with my deepest, darkest secrets. That's a personal relationship. That's when prayer life gets good. When you close the door and you just talk to God. You seek His direction. You tell Him what burdens you have. You ask Him for the strength and the power that you need to face whatever's coming next. That's when we prepare for whatever it is that tomorrow holds. Number one, are you saved? Are you a child of God? If not, you certainly need to be. Okay? Jesus Christ gave His life so that you could live forever. He loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. There's no sin too great but that the blood of Jesus Christ can't cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Are you a child of God? If not, we're going to invite you to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you have another need of renewing that disciple relationship that should be between you and Jesus Christ. Maybe you've neglected your prayer life. Maybe you've neglected your study time. Maybe you've neglected something else. But tonight's the night to get it back to what it should be, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But when we're right, it doesn't matter what tomorrow holds. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the joy that we have in knowing You as our personal Savior. Thank You, Lord, for this passage that we can examine and be confident in knowing that all things are possible through You. Thank You, Lord, for the power that You give to Your children. May we never let our relationship with You slip. And I pray that the decisions that we make, the things that we do, the life that we live, will be a reflection of Your power in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.